Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Thanks very much, Brian. We now know half of the group of 16 in the World Cup, with a few more deciders today and tomorrow. And some of the teams who are through already are seen as exciting, even if they are underdogs. And then there are the ones who are seen as plain old boring. But do they care about that when they have their place secured? Guillaume Balague, soccer journalist and pundit, joins me now from Qatar. Hi, Guillaume. How are you?
Good morning, Claire. Yes, excited, I must say. I'm the one that even finds boring teams exciting, because there's a story behind. There's always a story behind.
Listen, talk to me. I love talking to you about Argentina, because you're a Messi expert. And I was listening to you on the BBC at the weekend, analysing how he's dealing with the pressure and so on. And it's only when you see the fans bowing down to him when he comes near them on the pitch that you realise the level of adoration and the pressure that's on that man's shoulders. They're safely through. Their reputation is restored. They're probably going to beat Australia, dare we say it. I mean, the dream is very much alive for that team.
How about if I tell you that out of these four teams, Australia, Argentina, United States and Holland, one of them would be in the semi-finals. All of a sudden, the draw has opened up big time for them, and they were very aware that they needed to win this game. They were very aware that Poland didn't need to win this game, and I think they're both very aware that they were happy with 2-0 in the last 10 minutes of the game, which I'm sure is raised a lot of criticisms. But in the case of Argentina, what a great point you make. Imagine for a second that you come out of the station and you're going to get your car, and on the way to the car, everybody's like bowing to you and just raising their arms and going down. Oh, Claire. So that's what is every single day since he was 17. Not easy to deal with, but obviously it helps with victories, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And we saw when he scored that goal himself in the last match, the tears came in his eyes. I was really looking forward to talking to you actually after that, because I think that showed a chink. You know, he's very cool, isn't he? He deals with it very well, doesn't really bother him. I think in that moment we saw how much it means for him.
Something has happened. It's not just in this World Cup, but recently. And it has to do with his kids, but it has to do with him looking back and thinking, you know what? I haven't really enjoyed myself as much as I should have. All these wins, they lasted a minute, and then he was like, right, what's the next league to win, or what's the next Champions League to win? And now he's looking back and thinks, if I manage to get a team where it feels like I'm with mates, like from the, you know, from the street, and we manage to fight for each other, and we go through suffering as they did in the first game, but then everything turns right, it's something to be enjoyed. And yesterday he was the first one joining the players going to the fans, to one of the side, and just, you know, this thing the Argentinians do with their hands, they raise them and start hitting the air, and singing. He knows all the songs. You can see he dances. You've seen some pictures in the changing room as well. Yeah, he has opened up to enjoying.
Yeah, and listen, about Poland, I want to talk to you about Poland, because I don't know if you know Richie Sadler. Richie is a former player and he's a commentator and analyst here, but he absolutely tore into Poland on the television here in Ireland last night. He said they stunk the place out tonight. They've offered nothing at all, no personality, no ambition, no fight, no pride, nothing. Do you agree?
He's Irish, yeah?
He is.
Right. Okay. Picture this, okay? Ireland have to lose 2-0, and with that, they still go through, and they don't need to attack, and especially don't need to get yellow cards. What would he do?
I know. But look, you've got to show some pride in wearing your jersey on the World Cup stage. You've got to.
You have to just do game management. And yes, it was risky because, of course, it could have been goals in the other game, another Mexico goal instead of a Saudi Arabia goal, and they would have got them out. Mm-hmm. But they were quite clearly inferior to this Argentina that's growing. So sometimes accepting your fate, as in, you're not better than the rivals, let's do enough to actually go through, it's an intelligent solution.
Australia, they're absolutely thrilled that they're through. We were hearing about the celebrations in Melbourne last night. They would have got a public holiday had the match happened a little earlier their time. But do you think they're reaching the end of the road now?
Well, your question kind of says it. Really.
I don't want to be mean. They'll all be on to us.
This is the time where you separate the boys from the men. So quite clearly, Australia don't have what it requires. In fact, against Denmark, they had one clear chance, the goal, yeah, and that was it. They couldn't pass the ball. So, it was great having you, Australia, and I'm glad you enjoyed the going through the next round for since 2006, I think it is. So, cheers, bye.
Yeah, the Netherlands then coming in for criticism. They're being accused of being boring as well, but do they care?
See, the thing with Netherlands is that we compare them to the 70s. We compare them to 2014, if you like. They normally are competitive. They're a small country. They're a really small country that have been proportionally the most influential country in the history of the game. That right now, they don't have that kind of generation. Gapco, young player, who scored already, good player. Depay, Affron, Van Dijk at the back, Frankie de Jong, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So they, if there is somebody that can read the game well, is another of the most influential people in the history of the game, and that's Van Gaal, who, as we mentioned already, is going through his own story and his own health. That, just because of that, because he's hiding that and he's hogging journalists. Did you see that?
Yes,
He's bringing humanity to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I want them to go through and meet Argentina at some point.
And you bit of squeaky bum time coming up at 7 o'clock with Spain playing Japan tonight in Group E.
Yeah. So Luis Enrique spoke to his coach and staff and said, how about if we just get a result in which we finish second and avoid Brazil in the quarters? The conclusion, he was testing them, of course, and the conclusion was, man, you just told us since 2018 is all about winning and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Then we go out there and try to beat Japan, be first. And if it's Brazil in the quarters, it'll be another team before, either Morocco or Croatia or Belgium. We should be favourites to that. But let's beat Japan first. It's a group in which every other team have got a chance, Costa Rica and Germany as well.
Yeah, you see, you're kind of excusing Poland for taking the let's just get in there attitude. But are you saying you'd be happy enough for them to come second in the group?
No. It was a question asked by Luis Enrique that we were all answered in our heads.
But, yeah, and you feel they should play to win, even if it means Brazil.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody has to maximize their potential. Poland, they're happy with what they do, and I'm happy with that what they did. Spain, they just have to come out and keep the momentum is important. I think you're realizing through watching, I don't know, England, for instance, or Germany even, so many teams that are all of a sudden they're adjusting things and they're getting better. It's so important. This is a tournament. It's not about how good these players were in the past. It's how good they are now. And right now, Spain have got players that are on form more than Japan, that are weak in both boxes. They don't defend terribly well. They don't use well the possession they have. So we are superior and should show it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking here at a chart of all of the groups now. And as my eyes pass over all of the teams that are at the top or, you know, the first or second place in the groups, I'm wondering who you think is most likely now to do it.
Well, you still got on one side of the draw, Argentina, as I said, they've got an easy one. In the other draw, the big guns are going to be found. France will meet England at some point. Brazil will meet Spain. And then, I don't know. I still think Brazil have got enough. They know that they don't need to attack all the time, but attacks will happen and the quality of front will make the difference against most sides. That will take it to the final. I'm starting to see an Argentina-Brazil final, which will be extraordinary because the last four World Cups have been won by European sides. I think the semi-finals of the last World Cup were the four of them European. So a change of guard would be interesting.
So what leads you to predict that? You're then seeing that Brazil defeat your own country, Spain.
Right. Thank you. But yes.
But what has led you to that conclusion? I mean, you can see Argentina coming through pretty clearly, but take us through Brazil's progression through the last 16 as you see it.
Basically, Brazil have got the ability of not conceding goals, and that is so important. Spain in 2010, for instance, conceded only two goals. That's what made England so good as well. They have that in them. They everybody says demanding Brazil to actually play well, but it doesn't matter to them. It's about making sure that they go through, and that is leaving seven players sometimes behind the ball and up front. They've got Vinicius. Neymar, I don't think he's going to play, as we said last time, but they've still got Rodrigo. They've got Vitinha. They've got Gabriel Jesus. They've got Richarlison. And they only got to choose three of those. So the draw will mean, as you say, that the quarterfinals, I think, is Spain. After that, I haven't followed it through, but it could be France semifinals, I think. Mm-hmm. I still see that Brazil superior, but I'm talking from memory. I don't know if that's the semifinals. In any case, yeah, they're favourites.
And England then not in the shake-up, you think? I mean, they had a great night the other night, but it was against Wales. You know, no offence to the Welsh, but I think everybody was agreed that the best part of that performance came from the fans and the singing, which was amazing. It always is when it comes to Wales. But what are your thoughts on England and how they're shaping up?
So the first half against Wales, there was no much effort because Wales did a Poland thing of not trying to attack. For them, it was about getting a famous victory, not qualifying. That's a different target to England. England was about qualifying and at the top of the table as well. Second half was completely different. A goal was going to open up that game, and it was a set piece. After that, with the spaces, England are much better. But they have shown a couple of weaknesses like that. If they have teams that defend them well, high up the pitch, with lines close, they don't have the subtlety, the fluidity in the middle to actually break that. I see other teams with better chances, but I do see them growing as well. I do think that they have a front, it's only matched by Brazil. But they don't have that game management that's required at this tournament, I think.
Guillaume, we'll talk again soon and enjoy that game, Spain versus Japan. I know that's where your heart will be right through the course of the day. Thanks very much for taking our call. Guillaume Balague there in Qatar. Evelyn O'Rourke sees how one Dublin community is trying to make Christmas more sustainable. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.